Hey everybody, Rob Maurer here, and today we're going to be talking about a new piece from Consumer Reports criticizing Tesla's eye tracking monitoring. Also got an update from NHTSA on the investigation of Tesla allowing games to be played while the vehicle is being driven, news on FSD Beta 10.8, new contracts for Tesla for shipping and for graphite, a little bit of news on charging, and a couple other things as well. Looking at the stock, another really strong day for Tesla today to wrap up the week. Remember, the markets are closed tomorrow. Tesla today finishing up 5.8% to $1,067 even, while the NASDAQ was up about 0.9%. So quite the two-day run here for Tesla, up almost 14% the last 2 days, and I continue to believe that that is primarily due to Elon being mostly done with his stock sale now. So we did actually get more Form 4s on this last night. Elon did actually end up selling some shares yesterday, which was a little bit surprising given the strong performance of the stock. I think that was a bullish sign going into today, with the stock being able to finish up 7.5% or so while Elon was selling. So quickly updating our tracking sheet, we can see that yesterday's transactions basically the same as what we've been seeing, about 2.1 million shares exercised, 934,000 sold, bringing the total sold so far up to about 14.8 million shares. Now we're just at the very, very tail end here. There are only 1.5 million shares that have been vested that have not been exercised from this 2012 performance award. That means that there is basically less than one lot left at the size that Elon has been doing. That final sale very well could have happened today, so at this point we may actually be all the way done, but if not, I do expect that next week. But I think as far as the market's concerned, for all intents and purposes, it's pretty much done. That last little bit is relatively inconsequential. So great news, we are almost done talking about this, really just have to talk about it one more time, and that'll just be to mention that it is finally wrapped up. Alright, next up here, I wanted to spend a minute going through a new article from Consumer Reports on Tesla's driver monitoring, particularly eye tracking. One of the reasons I want to go through it is because I don't feel it gives an accurate representation of what Tesla is actually doing. So the headline here is Tesla's camera-based driver monitoring fails to keep driver attention on the road, see our tests show. Subheading is that GM Super Cruise system does a far better job at keeping drivers engaged. Unfortunately, I haven't personally had a chance to use Super Cruise yet, so I want to focus more just on the comments on Tesla. Consumer Reports highlights their main criticisms in a bullet point list here saying, quote, drivers could still use autopilot if they were looking away from the road and while using their phone. Even if the vehicle's camera was obscured, autopilot remained active and didn't prohibit the driver from using the system. And we could use Tesla's full self-driving beta software with the vehicle's camera blocked. So those things are accurate. I don't really take any issue with any of that. I think how Tesla has it set up and how Consumer Reports would prefer to see it set up is more of a philosophical difference. So that's all fine, but I think when Consumer Reports goes into detail, they're intentionally withholding information, and they write this in a way that I think is intentionally confusing. So I think most of us know by now that FSD beta has more aggressive eye tracking than autopilot does on non-FSD beta cars. This is obviously a choice that Tesla has made, and again, Consumer Reports can disagree with that, but I would just like to see it presented accurately, and I don't think they do that. They say, quote, Consumer Reports test of a 2022 Model Y and 2022 Model S did find that the amount of time that the driver could have their hands off the wheel was shortened if the camera detected the driver's eyes were off the road. But as long as the driver's hands remained on the wheel, as autopilot instructs, we saw no difference in warnings whether eyes were on or off the road, end quote. They then go on to talk about FSD beta, saying, quote, CR also found that we could enable Tesla's FSD beta with the camera covered with no difference in performance or ability to enable the feature on city streets. Quote, it's quite a disappointment that Tesla has a driver monitoring camera, yet they aren't actually requiring it to be used when autopilot and FSD are engaged, Funkhauser said, end quote. So they start off talking about how the system functions for autopilot and then basically just lead right into FSD, but they pretty obviously intentionally omit that what they described for autopilot would not happen with FSD. If you have your hand on the wheel and you're looking away, you're going to get warnings and you're going to get locked out. Certainly Consumer Reports discovered this in their testing, and yet they decided not to mention that at all. So I was disappointed to see Consumer Reports leave that gap. Again, you can disagree with how Tesla's implementing things, but I think that's a pretty key detail to omit, so I wanted to make sure to fill in that gap because I know not everyone obviously has experience with the beta and may not understand that fully. And also to note that because Tesla is sort of operating in two different modes right now, they have the capability to collect data and use that data to figure out what the best system is rather than just making assumptions. Kind of on a similar note to this, we've got an update on the NHTSA investigation of Tesla allowing gameplay while the vehicle is being driven that we talked about yesterday. NHTSA said in a statement today that Tesla will send a software update out to lock the gameplay functionality while vehicles are in motion. So if you have a passenger that wants to play a game, too bad. And if you're a driver and you want to play a game, well, you can just do that on your phone. Now, obviously, I'm being facetious about that. You shouldn't play games on your phone. But the whole point is that this isn't going to stop anyone that actually wants to play a game while they're driving. Please get here soon, FSD, so that we no longer have to talk about things like this. Speaking of FSD, it does sound like 10.8 has been going out to employees. No wider release yet. Hopefully we'll see that soon, but in the meantime, we do have a little bit more information. Starshipper1 on Twitter shared a photo of FSD 10.8, and in this version, you can actually make the visualization full screen. So I'm excited to see that, and that should be really cool for passengers, especially those that are new to Tesla and haven't seen any of this stuff yet. From this photo, we can also see that the new user interface that's a part of the holiday update looks like it's also a part of FSD Beta 10.8. Sometimes those development paths are a little bit split, like FSD Beta doesn't have waypoints yet. So good to see that new UI for 10.8, and hopefully that'll bring kind of catch up for some of those missing things. Another quick piece of software news, Elon today was asked on Twitter if there could be a yearly plan for premium connectivity instead of the $9.99 a month, maybe $99 a year. Elon replied to that saying, good idea. All right, next up, we've got news on a couple of new Tesla contracts. First, on shipping, Tesla has signed an agreement with Hyundai Glovis for their shipping needs from Shanghai. So even as we see Berlin and Texas ramp up, it looks like Tesla continues to plan to export from Shanghai. They signed a one-year deal worth $422 million with Hyundai Glovis. For 2021, Tesla will have exported roughly 160,000 vehicles or so from Shanghai. But if we look more recently at Q4, Tesla's been at more of around a 250,000 per year rate in terms of exports. So this contract value seems to suggest that that would be continuing to increase, because an individual can ship a car for maybe a couple thousand dollars. There's kind of a big range on that depending on the vehicle and where it's going. But obviously Tesla would get a much lower per vehicle rate. So $422 million across 250,000 cars would be about $1,700 per car. And my guess and other people's guess seems to be that Tesla's cost would be lower. Regardless, still big export plans. And remember that initially Berlin isn't going to be making Model 3. So I think a lot of those exports will end up being Model 3. The other contract news we've got is for graphite, which of course Tesla uses in their batteries. Bloomberg today reporting that Tesla has agreed to take the majority of battery-ready graphite from a new production facility planned for Louisiana from Australian company Syrah Resources. This is being reported as a four-year contract, and initially this plant will produce about 10,000 tons per year, which they say is enough to supply about 3% of US-based battery demand by 2025. Though by that time, they hope to be producing more like 40,000 tons per year. So obviously Tesla will have additional graphite needs, but this should be a pretty sizable chunk. And Syrah Resources stock today was up 75% on this news. Not a company I know anything about or plan on investing in, but hey, pops like that are always pretty interesting to see. All right, next up, we've got a little bit of news on charging. Electrek reporting today that Tesla has filed for grants for superchargers in Texas for four new stations in particular. But the interesting part of that is that these grants require Tesla to offer charging options that include either CHAdeMO or CCS. So of course, Tesla at superchargers in Europe offers the CCS connector. And that's been a bit of an open question on if Tesla would be doing that in the US with the news of Tesla wanting to open up the supercharger network to third parties. And this grant application could be a hint that Tesla is indeed moving in that direction. All right, last couple of things here. This one may be interesting, maybe not, but on the fueleconomy.gov EPA website, a 2022 Tesla Model Y rear wheel drive does show up with 244 miles of total range. Obviously, we haven't seen a standard range Model Y in the US since Q1, so interesting to see a 2022 version show up on the site. Maybe Tesla's done EPA testing on that just to get ready to reintroduce it at some point. So we'll have to see on that. And then lastly here, just wanted to wish everybody happy holidays. With the markets closed tomorrow, I am planning on being off as well. Driving back home tonight for some family time, but we'll definitely be back on the podcast on Monday. So hope everyone in the meantime has an excellent weekend. But as always, thank you for listening. Make sure you're subscribed and signed up for notifications. You can also find me on Twitter at Tesla Podcast. And we'll see you on Monday for the December 27th episode of Tesla Daily. Thank you.